Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We are located in Grove City, Ohio, and I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Tuesday to you. This is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And I hope you're having a great Tuesday today, and that you're living for the Lord, and God's blessing is upon your life. And we're finishing out the month of March. And we'll turn the calendar the month of April here at the end of the month, and a lot of great, great things planned for the month of April, and we're looking forward to that. If your Bible's nearby, though, today I want to talk to you about something that we seem to be losing in our day and age. Right before our eyes, there seems to be a real push, I guess you could say, or some momentum where people say, well, I follow Jesus, but I don't go to church. Or I love Jesus, but I don't go to church. I don't like organized religion. I always like to ask people when they say that, well, you must enjoy disorganized religion. Listen, I want to talk to you today, and I'll probably have to carry it over to tomorrow, about the importance of church membership. Sometimes, what's the big deal, whether I belong to a church or not? Well, the Bible makes it a big deal. Let me show you, all right? Remember, the Bible is our final authority, is it not? Well, Acts chapter 2. This is Pentecost, and this is after Peter and the other apostles have preached the gospel to those who were in attendance there at Jerusalem. Every country in the world at that time was present, and they repented of their sin, and they believed in Christ. And the Bible says in verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They were added unto them. Who's them? That's the 120 that had gathered in the upper room for prayer for 10 days. And so they gathered with the other believers. And they went from 120 to 3,120. He added to the church that had already assembled for 10 days and had a prayer meeting. Now, there's several things that happened after their salvation. Notice, right after they were saved, they were baptized. They were baptized immediately. These believers were, the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 was, Cornelius and his relatives in Acts 10 were, the jailer in Acts 16 was saved and baptized immediately with his family, because baptism is simply obedience to God. It is not salvation. But it certainly accompanies salvation. It always follows salvation. Baptism is always for believers, and it follows their profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And what happens after they receive Christ and then they're baptized? The Bible says they became church members. The Lord added unto them, saved, baptized, and added to the church. Dr. R.G. Lee said this when asked, can I be a Christian without going to church? And he said, well, sure. It's as possible to be as being a student who won't go to school, a soldier who won't join an army, a citizen who doesn't pay taxes or vote, a salesman with no customers, an explorer with no base camp, a seaman on a ship without a crew, a businessman on a deserted island, an author without readers, a tuba player without an orchestra, a parent without a family, a football player without a team, a politician who's a recluse, a scientist who doesn't share his findings, or a bee without a hive, end quote. Receive Christ, be baptized, and then be involved in an old-fashioned, Bible-believing, soul-winning, separated, independent Baptist church. That's just normal Christianity, my friend. The Lord added to them. It was well over 100 years ago that Charles Spurgeon wrote this regarding membership in the local congregation. And I quote, I know there are some who say, well, I've given myself to the Lord, but I don't intend to give myself to any church. And I say, now why not? And they answer, because I could be just as good a Christian without it. And I say, are you quite clear about that? You can be as good a Christian by disobedience to your Lord's commands as by being obedient? There's a brick. What is a brick made for? it's made to build a house. It's of no use for the brick to tell you that it's just as good a brick while it's kicking about on the ground by itself as it would be as part of a house. Actually, it's a good-for-nothing brick. So, you, Rolling Stone Christians, I don't believe that you're answering the purpose for which God saved you. You're living contrary to the life which Christ would have you live, and you are much to blame for the injury you do. End quote. Oh, Spurgeon was obviously pointing out that refusal to unite with a local congregation certainly ensures that the individual who refuses to unite with the church is disobedient, and therefore the individual fails to fulfill the purpose for which he or she was saved. And listen, God identifies the local congregation, the local church, with common pictures that should be all of us can understand. In other words, the word church is found 82 times in the New Testament, and every time it refers to local assemblies, visible manifestation of God's people gathered in local assemblies for worship and for witness and for fellowship and for service. Throughout the entire New Testament, it's expected that an individual believer will attach himself to a local church. Now, the existence of the church government in the local churches and indicates they had clear local church membership. It's so clear. Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, gave instruction about how to set up pastors and deacons in the local church. How they would be overseen, the church would be overseen by the pastor, the elder, the bishop, if you will. And they would be overseen in the church. And so that was the structure of the New Testament church. It's a structured church. The shepherd, the pastor, was to shepherd the people. He was to labor diligently among the people. He was oversee the people. That's the word bishop. And he's to watch for their souls, according to Hebrews 13. Now, those responsibilities of the pastor, how can he do that if he has no members in the local church? How can he shepherd a people and give account to God for their spiritual well-being if they don't even know who their sheep are? Now, on the other side of the coin, the Bible teaches us, as believers, that we're to submit to their authority. The Bible says, Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. So every believer ought to be under the spiritual authority of a pastor, a church leader. And how can you be under authority without being a member? I don't have any authority over people who visit our church, but I do have spiritual authority over the members of our church. The example of the early church, the coming to Christ was just synonymous with coming to church. And again, once they got saved and baptized at Pentecost, they became members of the church. I'm thinking about Saul when he got saved in Acts chapter 9. You look there, and of course you know about his conversion. The Bible says, and of course he began to preach in the synagogue, and they took counsel. They were going to kill him, and they had to get him out by night over the wall in a basket, remember? The Bible says in verse 26, when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, believed not he was a disciple, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the disciples and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way that he had spoken to him, how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out of Jerusalem. He sought to join himself to the disciples. That join is the word glue. He glued himself to disciples. See, Saul knew Christians, and Saul knew Christians belonged to a church. And as soon as he got to Jerusalem, he says, I need to join the church here in Jerusalem. And I know that's what a Christian's supposed to do. And you ought to get glued into a local church right after you're saved and you're scripturally baptized. So there's evidence that folks have uncovered in archaeology of what would maybe considered church rolls as early as the 3rd century. I mean, church sites with lists of names. Now, it didn't say membership roll of Antioch, but it's something like a church roll that we would call today a membership book, if you will. And the Christian life, listen, the Christian life is not just a matter of believing. It's a matter of belonging. And belonging is a choice you make. Fellowship begins with belonging. It makes a choice to who you're going to be in fellowship with. And God says, I want you to identify. I want you to be part of my family and part of the local fellowship. Membership comes from the Bible. It means today I know membership. Well, I'm part of being a club or an organization or joining this or that. But membership in a church isn't about wearing a hat or carrying a sign around or having a lapel pin. It's a choice you're making to belong. It's a public declaration. It's saying you're making the decision to join a church. You're identifying yourself as an active participant of that local fellowship, saying you want to make that church your home. You're part of the church family. The Lord never intended for you to live your Christian life alone. When you're part of the church family, you're going to learn some things. And I'm going to talk more about that here a little bit today and then mostly tomorrow. But I just wanted to emphasize to you, you know, there in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 5, with Ananias and Sapphira, the Bible says that, you know what happened to them? They lied about their giving. And Ananias, the Lord struck him dead, and the men came in and wound him up and carried him out. And about 3 hours later, they're still having church. 3 hours later, service still going on. His wife comes in. And Peter says, tell me, do you sell the land for so much? And she said, yea, for so much. And again, he said, you know, you've agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord and the feet that carried out your husband and carry you out. And boy, she fell down straightway at his feet, yielded up the ghost. Young men came in, found her dead, carried her forth and buried her by her husband. And the Bible says in Acts 5:11, great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Oh, I believe that. And Bible says in verse number 13, and of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. Oh, listen, people were fearful to join in with that group. Why? Man, if I lie, God may strike me dead. But you understand, they took church membership seriously. And it appears that God takes it rather seriously. See, when you come and you become a member of a church, you take on responsibilities. Now you're accountable to somebody. And that's really the reason why many don't want to be part of a church. They don't want to be accountable. They still want to run their own life and do their own thing and do whatever they want to do. When you're part of the church family, when you're part of a local congregation, there's several things you're going to learn. And you're going to grow, by the way. The best discipleship program there is the local New Testament church. When someone gets saved and they're baptized and you tell them, now you belong to this local assembly of believers, and we gather Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and you come here Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I'm going to tell you something, my friend. That convert's going to grow. That convert is going to begin to serve. That convert's going to begin to understand what the Christian life's all about. Several things we learn in just a short time I have left here today is perseverance. Perseverance. The Bible says over in John chapter 10, and John 10 and verse 12, he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth him and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. You see, employees will run when there's problems, but family members stay. Now, I'm going to talk more about this tomorrow, okay? We're out of time for today. I'll come back tomorrow and let's finish up talking about what we're going to learn when we're in a local church. All right. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. And until tomorrow, this is Brother Slayball reminding you, be good to everyone because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with a smile, a bright sunny smile.